The Korean FC podcast is kindly sponsored by Radio Taxis. Give them a call, 70353-709. They know the score.
Welcome along once again to the official Korean FC podcast. It's another week, but I think, like everybody else, it's a week unlike any other that we've experienced. It's different times we're living in. Obviously, we're referring to the passing of Her Majesty the Queen. And it's a week of mourning across the UK, and I guess Korean is no different. And this week, it's a slightly shorter version of the podcast, and it'll just be myself and Johnny McNabb, looking sort of back at the week that's in it and looking ahead to this weekend. And Johnny, I mentioned there that it's a week like no other. And, you know, when you look at it, you know, Queen Elizabeth II, you know, the monarch for 70 years, it's incredible. And I think when you look at the mourning and the reaction and just the scenes that are broadcast from London and from Hillsborough during the week and other parts of the United Kingdom as well, it just shows it's the significance of it all, doesn't it?
It does. My aunt's actually heading over to Westminster, I think, today or tomorrow to pay her respects too. And yeah, the news, and quite rightly so, has been dominated by the news and obviously of the Queen's sad passing. And yeah, just from a personal point of view, the Queen being the head of state is all I've ever known, you know, and a fantastic woman. She done a lot, and you know, I was thinking about it, you know, today, you know, she was heavily involved when the Trolls were here in Northern Ireland, to, you know, Britain leaving the EU there, what, a couple of years ago. So many different things that she's been a part of, and yeah, look, it's sad as well, but at the same time, you know, she lived for what was it, 96 years, and she had a fantastic life too. So yeah, look, there'll never be another one like her, in my opinion. She took on the role when she was, what, 25, 26. I think she came off the plane when her father died, and then straight into being a queen. So yeah, look, a remarkable woman, and I'm sure in a funeral and everything on Monday, we'll pay the just respects to her.
Yes, and of course, you know, the death was announced the end of last week, and obviously then there was conjecture as to what was going to happen with in terms of sport, etc. And in the event, the IFA and NIFL took the decision to postpone the games penciled in for last weekend, and some sport went ahead in England, like the rugby and the cricket, etc. But I guess, Johnny, when you look at it, I mean, really and truly, I suppose there was very little option there. Maybe the NIFL and the IFA and the people in charge took the right decision.
Yeah, there's more to life than football, to be honest. And yeah, look, I think once the games were postponed on Friday night, it probably gave no option for the games on Saturday. And look, I know a few other sports went ahead in England and everyone else, and I fully expected the games on Tuesday and mainland Britain to go ahead. And yeah, look, it would have been, you know, it'd been lovely to watch Korean play on Saturday, but look, there's another event going on, and a woman died, and you know, a head of state and everything else. So yeah, look, I fully understand the decision to cancel football, and look, it's only one game at the end of the day, and I'm sure it'll be rescheduled in due course.
Yeah, and you missed your regular fix at the weekend, but thankfully for you, you got to the Bet McLean League Cup game on Tuesday night. I wasn't there. I was otherwise engaged on Tuesday. But so for myself and maybe perhaps others who weren't at the game, Johnny, I mean, what, I know there were a number of changes, but I mean, how did Korean look on Tuesday night?
Even you were away living the high life on Tuesday. but yeah, no, I looked at the team sheet, and to be honest, I didn't expect six changes, but then when you look across the squad, now Warren's got, and the first thing I took from Warren's post-match interview was he said he had 21 first-team players. Now it's not a case of, you know, down to the bare bones and chucking someone who he might not fully trust. He's got 21 players there who he does trust, and yeah, look, the first two goals in the two goals in the first half were two fantastic deliveries into the box, and Evan and Michael do well to get on the end of them, and yeah, look, it was probably a professional performance. I'm sure we've played better. You know, I know we're even alluded to after the match, maybe for a 15, 20-minute spell, we probably weren't great, but at the end of the day, we were never really under any pressure. I don't remember Marty really having a save to make, and I look 4-0, clean sheet, more minutes into the bank for like say Jack O'Mahony and Stevie O'Donnell and make them a problem. So, and no injuries or no suspensions. So look, into the hat for the next round. There was one shock, obviously, with Dundella beating Crusaders. So thankfully we avoided our very own shock.
Yeah, I mean, that was a big shock. Crusaders, they have a good record in the League Cup. And, you know, as we keep saying, and as the managers keep saying, every season, really, there's three trophies. There's the League, the Irish Cup, and the League Cup. And as a club and as a team, you want to be involved in the latter stages. So, I mean, already Crusaders are out of one competition. So that's a blow for them. But you mentioned it was a first start. I was reading your report there, and it was the first start of the season for the captain, Stephen O'Donnell. And it's been a frustrating time for Stevie, hasn't it? Because I talked to him earlier in the season, in pre-season, and he was explaining that he played a lot of towards the end of last season with an injury, and it's been bothering him. And I suppose if there's anything good comes out of it, is it with the assets at Oran's disposal, he's maybe getting a bit of a rest now where he, remember, he didn't get the chance previously.
Yeah, like we've got, you know, Adam Muller can play there, Rodney can play there, and Kieran Farron can play there. I'm sure, you know, even Conor McDermott, and so there's maybe a couple others that can fill in at centre half, which has allowed Stevie that extra bit of time. And I suppose if it was a time for Stevie, they maybe struggle would be maybe at the start of the season. So now we're now in the second month of the season now, so he can come back in fully fit. And yeah, I interviewed Stevie after the match, and he said he missed kicking people and heading football and everything. And you want that hunger and you want that desire, you know, to get back into the team. And, you know, he has to look at it now, whereas, you know, Adam and Kieran have been the two centre halves for the majority of the games, and it's up to now Stevie to get back in there and dislodge one of them. And the big thing I took from as well of what he said is that he paid a lot of credit to, you know, to playing for the under 20s. And it's not very often that a first team player would be like, yeah, thankful for the under 20s. So that was a really, really nice touch, because I know Stevie's played maybe three or four games for them. So they build up his fitness. So that was definitely a nice touch. And yeah, look, it's great to get Stevie back. You can hear him before you see him. He's been a fantastic servant to Corian. And look, he's only 30 now, so he'll be thinking he'll want to get as many games as he can and get back at it. So, yeah, look, a good defender would hit a brick wall for the cause. And yeah, it's great to see him back right there.
And at the other end of the pitch as well, I think, you correct me if I'm wrong, maybe it was a first competitive start for Michael McCrudden as well. I mean, he's had to be patient too. And that owes an awful lot to the form of Matthew Shevlin, who we may talk about later. Got an award, an individual award this week. But for Michael McCrudden, it's been he has had to be patient too, through no fault of his own. But he's certainly come on, and I think from reading your report, he scored and he did enough to put himself in the line for more regular appearances.
I think when you look at Michael McCrudden's career, I don't think he's been a sub very often. So that just shows you how good of a footballer he is, a fantastic footballer. He links up the play so well. You know, he drops deep, brings other players in to play. And if we can get the right service in them in the box, he's going to score goals. And yeah, he had a header on Tuesday night, cleared off the line. I don't know how the fella got it. To be fair, and then he did score a great header. Peeled in between two defenders and just headed into the back of the net. So yeah, look, another fantastic option to have. How many times have we been linked with him for his career? And how many times would you have loved him in your team? And again, look, that probably pushes Matthew too, where Matthew knows where if he doesn't play, Mick is there, or James is there, or Big Mitch is there. So yeah, it's going to push the other players on. They stake a claim, and whenever Michael's on the pitch, he knows he has to do something. And to be fair to him, against O'Gannon, he scored, and now in his first start, he scored. So the more players that score goals, the better. Goals win games, and we just can't always heavily rely on Chevy, who's obviously made a great start, as you said there.
Yeah, such a great start that he was named the Football Writers Player of the Month for August, the first award of the season. And I suppose when you look at his figures, I mean, it was a no-brainer, really. I think 6 goals in the month of August. I don't think they could have realistically given it to anybody else.
Not really, Damien. And as well as that, you know, Corey and we're sitting, I think, is it second in the league, heading into September as well. So, yeah, look, Matthew's done really, really well. But Oran, anyway, any time I've spoken to Oran about Shevy, Oran would be the first to tell you there's definitely room for improvement. But you know what Oran's like. Oran strives for perfection. And yeah, look, but I actually do think his hold up play has really come on in the last 4 or 5 months. That was probably the only part of his game where I thought he could maybe improve on. But his hold up play this year has been very, very good. And when he's one on one now with the keeper, I'm expecting him to score. He still misses probably the easier chance. Like the other Tuesday night there, a great ball by Connor put him through and he had it straight at the keeper. Yet, you know, a second chance he took it. So, yeah, he knows where the net is. And as well as that, I think you have to pay credit they were and the management staff. It would have been very easy to look at Matthew and be like, I didn't really, you know, get many chances at Linfield. Give that the bye ball, but Oren is probably sicking him with football, playing him every week. And he's definitely seeing the benefits of that now.
Yeah, because I did read some quotes from Matthew when he was getting the award, and he did mention Oren, because obviously Matthew made his debut for Ballymena aged 15, was linked with clubs across the water in England, then went got a big move to Linfield. It never really seemed just to work for Matthew for some reason. And then he mentioned the fact that Oren had put the trust in him and, as you said, had played him consistently. And I think both parties are now reaping the rewards of that relationship.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing, David. And I suppose whenever you're, and no disrespect to Ballymena, but I suppose if, when Linfield comes in for you, it's going to be hard to turn it. Whether you're Corian, Crusaders, the lure of Linfield is very, very hard to turn down. And but I suppose hindsight, Matthew, probably his age, should have probably went to a team maybe lower in the league and get more football. But, you know, it's easier saying that now. You could have went to Linfield and played a blinder. But it just didn't happen for him. But to be fair to him, he didn't stick around and see how his contract. He moved and 2 January ago to Corian, and it's definitely paid benefits for him. His games came on so much. He knows where the back of the net is, and yeah, long may that can continue.
Yeah, and I think he's only still 24, I think it is.
It's crazy because any time I interview him, it seems like he's been around for about 15 years. It's crazy, and he's only 24. So,
all being well, you know, when all things been equal, he could have another 10 years career in front of him.
Yeah, like touch wood, like he's never really injured. You know, he's touch wood. No, honestly, he's never really seemed to be injured or carrying many knocks. So, it's obviously a testament to how he treats himself after games and recovery and everything else.
Yeah, just on the age thing, we mentioned Matthew at 15, blah, blah, blah. One of the big stories of the week, of course, was Glenavon, the youngest ever player playing in a men's senior competitive game, aged 13 and 300 odd days or whatever. Johnny, what is your view on that? I mean, are you in agreement with Gary that, you know, you can play them, or do you have reservations, or where do you stand?
Well, I don't know if you've seen my tweet through the week, but I was covering Glenavon's Super Cup team for work, and I watched Chris's age group every game. And there was a Leicester scout one day down at Castle Rock, and I said to him, they watched Chris, and I think Chris scored 2 and assisted 1. Anytime I've seen him, he was the best player on the pitch. And so I'm not taking any claim to fame for this one, but whenever I see his name in the squad...
Are you his agent by any chance?
I wish, but I think a lot of teams in Scotland are looking at it. I think Dundee United and Rangers were after him as well. He was actually...
You know what? He would probably get a game for Rangers at the minute.
No comment, but he was... he was meant to actually be in the... I was chatting to Michael from Glenavon. Chris was actually meant to be in their first team squad last season, for the last game of the season, but he went to Celtic Park to watch Celtic lift the league trophy with his dad, so it could have been even younger. My views on it... It'd be very hard, I think, for an opposition player to tackle him because he's only 13 and there's a risk of an injury. But to be fair, I don't think Glam brought him on at 5-0. So it's not a case of it was, you know, the game was on the back and it was, you know, the game was done. Let's be perfectly honest. But it puts the young fella in the shot window. He obviously had an assist as well. His name's all over the place. Sky Sports, I think we're looking at it, doing an interview and Talk Sport and everyone else. So look, he was the best player I've seen at the Super Cup. Whenever I was watching it in the summer, he's so good. His dribbling ability at that age is crazy. And everyone else. So yeah, look, the world is the oyster for that young lad. I seen there this day the AFA are looking at maybe increasing the age. My only worry would be a player of that age getting tackled really heavily and how his body would cope. But in terms of ability, he's honestly the real deal.
I obviously don't know anything about him. I'm not familiar with Glenavon as much as you would be. But looking from the outside in and just on a superficial level, I just think 13 is too young, you know, just to be playing in a senior game. And obviously the kid's talented. As you say, you wouldn't want him to get hurt. in a man's environment. And I've seen coach from Gary Hamilton, you know, talking about him and saying about how good he is and how he does everything right as a footballer. And I just wonder, does that put a bit of undue pressure on him, you know, that perhaps at that age he doesn't really need? I don't know. I'm not involved. But that's just my personal opinion. He's 13. He's at school. You'd be better just keep him under the radar, in my opinion, but
It's a difficult one because there's that old adage, if you're good enough, you're old enough, but 13 is maybe a different argument whatsoever. I think the injury bit is the bit that would scare me mostly, rather than maybe ability or anything like that there, because obviously he came on and had an assist and nearly scored as well. So yeah, it's a difficult one to sort of manage. I think the big thing that Gary said as well is that Chris's parents are very level-headed and want the best for him. I think his dad is a solicitor and he was on the books, I think, at Hearts when he was younger, so his dad sort of knows a crack as well. So I think, you know, Gary would have probably said to him, look, we'll bring him on. So if the parents had been worried, he wouldn't have been on the squad as well. So look, he wasn't injured or anything like that there, but it probably it's a difficult one.
It is, and that's why I'm not a football manager, obviously. So I'm just trying to think back to what I was doing at 13, but I can't even remember that far back. So so fair play to the young fella, and we'll keep an eye on his progress, and I'm sure he's got a big career in front of him. So, well, midweek is out of the way, Johnny. It was the League Cup, a lot of changes, et cetera, et cetera. And then the real action, I suppose, if you call it that, returns this weekend. And it's a real top two clash Corian are involved in at the Oval on Saturday. Away to Glentoran, who are top. And obviously at the time of recording this podcast, Corian are sitting in second. And as you know, I was away doing a media sort of golf thing on Tuesday, and I was speaking to a few of the guys there, one of the journalists in particular, and he has seen Glentoran already this season, and he said to me, Glentoran looked like a completely different animal this year as to what they were in previous seasons. He said they're more organised looking, they're just something about them. And I was just thinking, even today before recording this, and I was just thinking, you know, things are very quiet up around the Glentoran and the Oval, surprisingly, because there's always a bit of noise coming out. But I was just thinking, it's been very, very quiet. And I'm just wondering what he said and what I was thinking. I mean, are we likely to see a different Glentoran this year than what we have had in previous years? They're obviously sitting top now. I was looking at the table, Johnny, they've conceded one goal in their league game so far. So what are you expecting on Saturday?
Yeah, when you took the words out of my mouth, because I was chatting to somebody else about the Glens and they're top of the league, but nobody's really chatting about them. It always seems to be about Linfield and Larne and Cliftonville and everybody else. And the Glens are just going about their business rightly. And look, you look through their team, McMenamin, the Donnellys, Roy, you know, there's goals all over their team, but the big thing is they don't concede many. They haven't conceded many goals.
One league goal,
which is incredible. So, yeah, look, whenever we go to the Oval, they're always tight games. Either one goal in them or it's a draw. I genuinely not sitting on the fence. I wouldn't expect anything any different. On Saturday, we're going there in good form too. So, yeah, look, I personally think it will be a draw. That's my own personal opinion. But at the end of the day, we have to be at our very, very best to get some. And same for Glentoran too. It's two good teams. There's never usually much in it. And yeah, look, to answer your question about the quietness around the Glens, maybe that comes from the manager too. It hasn't been too much about Mick on the headlines or anything like that there. With the Glens, always just seem to be something you're waiting for something to happen, but it hasn't really happened yet. So still early in the season right enough. But yeah, like for them, for the team that they have and the infrastructure and everything else and the money that they spend and all that, the full time aspect, they'll definitely want to be doing something. They should be challenging for everything, to be perfectly honest.
Well, you know, Corian must be going to the Oval on Saturday in really good confidence. You know, last league outing they won 5-0 away at Dungannon. And with all due respect to Dungannon, you know, obviously they're not on the same level as maybe a Glentoran at this particular moment in time. But some of the football that Corian played that night was an absolute joy to watch. Some of the goals they scored were fantastic. That performance allied to a much changed team getting a win on Tuesday night, they're bound to be going to the Oval believing that they're going to get a positive result, because if Corian played to their capabilities, you know, they're going to get a result up there, I feel.
If you don't believe in them, there's no always points stepping out on the pitch. And, you know, we do have a lot of quality players. There's a lot of teams in the league would be envious of the squad that we have. And you mentioned the Dungannon performance. Obviously, we linked up really well, you know, with Glax and Lee Lynch and Chevy. Just like what we could do in a big pitch like the Oval as well. And yeah, look, there's going to be a big dilemma for Oran. Does he put Linden back in the centre field? Does he put Linden at right back? You know, does he maybe start with Evan and Connor in the wings? Does he bring Glax on? Does he start? You know, he's got so many options, but at the end of the day, that's what you want. You want that headache because we mentioned it in the podcast a couple of weeks ago. The team last year picked itself really from Christmas onwards, whereas now Oran's got a plethora of options there and everything else. So yeah, does Stevie O'Donnell start? He's here all day thinking of a starting line, but again, you want players fighting for the place, and they know if they don't perform, they're not going to play.
I think one of the key players this year, obviously Chevy got the Player of the Month award, and we've talked about other players, but I think we've mentioned it before in the podcast, but one of the players is key to this team at this minute in time is Glax. I think he's already got 3 league goals this year, which is, you know, a massive improvement to where he was this time last year. But it's not just about the goals that he scored. It's just about his general play. And I think even Oran mentioned after the Gannon game that on form, Jamie Glagan is right up there with the league's best players, isn't he?
Oh, he is. And when he's on form, he's really good to watch. And it frustrates me in a way because you just want that out of him so many times, you know. And it's because he has the ability to do that. And you just want him to get the game the scruff of the neck and run at people, get a foul, take players on, win a penalty, or, you know, or win a corner, or, you know, set something up. And you know, and Glax will be the first to admit, and he won't mind me saying this, that he should probably add more goals to his game, and he already has 3. So, you know, why not target 10 goals? I think that'd be 4 or 5 in the last year as well. And if he can start winning with goals, it'll take a lot of pressure off the likes of Matthew Shelby.
And he seems to be enjoying his football, which is important.
Damien, you know yourself, Glax is sort of seen as like the main man, if you know what I mean, the main go-to in terms of like tormenting teams and getting on the ball and striving forward. And I think it obviously comes from the manager, a bit like the Chevy move that we announced earlier, we spoke about earlier. You know, Glagan probably didn't get as much game time as he would have liked at Crusaders. Obviously, Rodney signed him and played him at Oars, put his arm around him now too. And he's a new lease of life. He seems very content off the pitch as well, obviously, with a new baby and everyone else. And he looks happy both on and off the pitch, and that's what you want. And, you know, hopefully we can reap the benefits of that.
It's funny, you just mentioned Glagan's been signed by Rodney, and I'm sure your Facebook page was like mine. Memories comes up every day or week on Facebook. And the memories that come up this week, it was 4 years ago that Corian appointed Rodney McGaree. And obviously, things obviously didn't work out the way both parties would have wanted. But it's crazy to think that was 4 years ago. It was very quickly.
Madness, that's 4 years ago. And, you know, we beat Crusaders away at Sky. Was it 3-0? And then the news came in that Alan Stubbs had been sacked by St Mirren, and I just knew. You just had that feeling. And Brad Lyons was given a farewell as well.
That's right. Brad came out onto the CV pitch and all went over to the fans and stuff, didn't he?
It just sort of seemed like Brad was probably our shining, you know, one of our better players. Obviously, Oran was the manager, and we just went top of the league after just missing out the league last year. Things were looking really... But then, obviously, just that everything just happened, and... And then obviously we played that Scottish team in the Challenge Cup, beat them in penalties, and Oran came out and said his goodbyes. And yeah, I just there's always that what if. I just think of Oran's day that year. I do think we'd have won the league or went really, really close again. And yeah, but things happened. But Oran went on to bigger and better things in terms of professional football. So you're never going to turn that down and stuff like that. And yeah, look, in my opinion, if it had been Rodney McGaree or Pep Guardiola, whoever it would have been, I think they would have just struggled after the Oran effect. He had that say in the team. He was there for that long and look, it could have been just the right person at the wrong time. But you get that at every club. You know, look at United after Fergie, and everyone else. That's just how it is. And you know, Rodney's went on. They do a fantastic coach at Warren Point at New England for
him. I know it is really so true what you just said there. I mean, when Oran left and the whole upheaval and when the club appointed Rodney, I mean, I think we were all in agreement at that particular time that it was the right appointment, and we were all, but as you say, it could have been any manager. It was just whatever the lingering fallout was from Orne leaving and just the effect that it had on the players. No matter who came into that managerial job, they were probably on a beaten target, weren't they?
110%, Damien. You know, Rodney was my choice. I think it was a choice of the majority of fans, and it just didn't work out. And that's football, and that's life, and not everything's going to go well. And that's just it. You know, we had a few highs under Rodney. You know, we beat Larne in a cup classic. We won at Windsor Park, you know, against Linfield in the league. He was unfortunate in the cup. You know, in my opinion, that season boiled down to three penalty incidents. The game in Europe when Orne was the manager, the Irish Cup semi-final against Crusaders when Galax was brought down inside the box, and then the European game against Clonmel, where that is the worst penalty decision I still have ever seen.
That was the one with Josh Carson.
It's tackled somebody from the front and somehow it's still a penalty. I would love to know what was in the referee's eyes. And, you know, Ronda could have got us into that final and got us into Europe, you know.
That wasn't like, it's a real sliding doors kind of moment, those that you're talking about, because if it had fallen either of them two incidents the other way, we could have won a trophy, guaranteed European football. You know, things could have been so much different.
It's just fine margins, Damien. You know, like Rodney could have got us into Europe, or either won the cup and got us into Europe. You know, the world might not have been in this position where he is now. It's just such fine margins of football, and that's just how it goes. And it was a crazy season. I think we finished sixth in the league, but we were far better than that. And I think the January Rodney came in, I think he probably signed maybe too many players. I think he signed 7 or 8 players, and it was just a weird season, just boiled down by 3 penalty incidents.
Crazy, and we'll probably see him on Saturday at the Oval as well. So the other games that are on at the weekend, shall we do your little predictions, Johnny?
Yeah, why not? I've got...
How are we doing anyway?
Well, obviously, last week didn't go ahead for obvious reasons, but our guest this week, I got Stephen Crawford. They sent us in his scores, so the guests are on 15, I'm on 10, and you're leading the way on 20, so
you're calling out the big guns, Big Stevie, to try and take me down here, are you?
Well, he's senior sports writer or something, the newsletter, so we better give him some respect.
Yes, indeed. We better make him earn his corn. So, let me see. Right, Friday evening, 2 games on Friday evening. We'll start at the Newry Showgrounds, where our old friend Gareth McCulloch will be in his element, no doubt, after his golfing exploits during the week. Newry City, home to Dungannon. Johnny, how do you and Stevie see that one?
Stevie went 2-1 Newry. I also fancy Newry at home as well. I think they've been unlucky at home against Linfield and Crusaders by all accounts. So Stevie went 2-1 Newry. I'm going to go 2-0 Newry.
Okay, I will. Oh, I don't know. That's I don't know really much about Newry. I haven't seen them, although they're obviously core inbound in the next week or so. So I tell you what, I'll go for a 2-2 draw. I think there'll be goals in that one, so I'll sit on the fence on a 2-2 draw. Also, Friday night, there's a big game, Johnny, at Seaview. Crusaders home to Linfield.
Yeah, right. I'll be tuning into that one. Obviously, I think the BBC are streaming that one. So, Stevie went 2-1 Linfield. I think it'll be a draw. I don't think either team will want to lose that one. Crusaders will want to bounce back, obviously, from their League Cup exit. So, I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw.
1-1 draw sounds good. I think I'll go for a draw because, as you say, I think almost you'd be scared of losing that game as much as you want to win it. So, can I go for a 1-1 draw too? Yeah?
You can, yeah.
Yeah, I'll put me down for a 1-1 draw, so we'll do that. Next on the list is Glentoran, home to Corey M. First versus second in the league, Johnny.
Yeah, Stevie went for a 2-2 draw. I also think it'll be a draw, so I'm going to go for another 1-1.
Okay, I'm going to be bold and go for a Corian victory.
Okay.
And I will go for a 2-1 away win.
Hope you're right.
I hope so. Next in the list for Saturday is Portadown at home to Larne.
Yes. Kickoff. Stevie went for a Portadown or for a Larne 2-0 win. I also think Larne will win, but I don't think they'll get it all their own way. So I'll go 2-1 to Larne.
Okay, I'll go for a 1-0. And I'll boring 1-0 win for Larne, obviously. And then next is our friends Ballymena against Carrick in an old mid East Antrim derby, I suppose you could call that. Ballymena's at home, Johnny. Has that any bearing on what might happen?
Well, I know Ballymena played on Wednesday night and went to the extra time, so they might have a few more tired bodies than Carrick. Again, I think there'll be goals in it. Stevie's went 3-2 Carrick. I think that'll be a high scoring game. I'm gonna go for a 2-2 draw.
Okay. I think it'll be a tight game, but Carrick, good at home, I'm not so sure about away. I will go for Ballymena 2-1. I think they have to try and get their season up and running at some point, so I think Saturday might be the time for them to do it. And then the final game of the weekend is Glenavon at home at Moranview Park against Cliftonville, who, since losing to Corian on the opening day, have been quietly going about their business, Johnny, and are handily placed in the league table, aren't they?
I think they've won nearly every game, haven't they?
I think they have. I think
yeah,
they could be
and they're scoring goals too. They're a good team, obviously. Stevie's went 3-1 Cliftonville. I think I'll be a tight game too. But I just think the Reds will edge that 1-2-1.
Well, as we've often discussed in this podcast and elsewhere, Glenavon are like a Jekyll and Hyde sort of team. You just do not know what you're going to get. And for that reason, I'm going to give them the nod on a 2-1 win over the Reds. Maybe that's but fanciful, but we'll go with that anyway. So 2-1, I'll say Glenavon against Cliftonville. So that's the predictions done out of the way. So all good round the club. Just one final thing. No European football, obviously, from Orange boys, but there is European football, Johnny, coming to the showgrounds next Wednesday. Maybe you could tell us just a little bit more about it.
Yeah, probably just a wee club buzz news here. Obviously, tickets are on sale for the Northwest Cup game on Tuesday night at home to Institute. I think it's £7 adults, £5 concessions. And then the Wednesday night, the 19s, or you want to call them, youths, they're at home to the Macedonian team, FK Pobeda, hopefully I've pronounced that right. I think it's £5 adults and kids going free. And look, it's only a fiver. They would really appreciate the support. They deserve some support too because of they won their league last year. They're a first team from Northern Ireland to, you know, play in this competition as well.
It's like a Champions League, isn't it, for that age group?
Yeah, it's a Champions League. So all the Champions League teams now, they're playing in this at the minute. You know, like Rangers playing that play there. But we're on the domestic path. So I think Corey will have to win 2 or 3 games and then meet one of them teams later on down the line in the competition. But, you know, here's hoping that a good crowd can give them a bit of support heading away to Macedonia as well. And I look, it's only a fiver and it's a Wednesday night well spent and everyone else. I don't think there's much football on through the week. I could be wrong on that there. And then obviously we're at home the following Friday to Newry City as well. So tickets on sale, I think, for all them three games and shirt sponsorship as well. I think there's only 8 shirts left as well. So I know the club are very thankful for that support. And the other thing is the mental health survey through the Hummingbird. It's been extended to next Friday as well, obviously with the sad events with the Queen. And so, yeah, look, that's really it. So all the tickets are on sale for those three home games. And then obviously you've the mental health surveys on the club website as well.
Brilliant. We had Marty Smith, the manager of the youth, on the podcast quite recently. And, you know, they won the league last year. That doesn't happen by accident. The boys obviously put a lot of work in and Marty was also very keen to pay tribute to all the boys as parents and family for the support that they receive. And for those guys and their parents, etc., this is a massive occasion, isn't it? European football, you're playing Champions League at the highest level that you can play. Obviously, you're playing an unknown outfit. But as you say, Johnny, if you could have a decent, good-sized crowd at the showgrounds, help back the young fellas maybe to take a good lead with them away to the second leg. And who knows? And what an experience for those young fellas too, if you're playing European football and there's a healthy crowd at the showgrounds. I mean, for some of them, it may be the biggest game that they've ever played.
For some of them, Damien, this could be the only European game they play in their career, if you think about it. You know, some people just don't get the lucky breaks that the others do. And yeah, look, I think a great crowd there would be fantastic for them because they got in this position because they won their own league. That didn't happen by fluke. They weren't in by a technicality. It wasn't
and do you know why? Winning any league takes some doing.
Yeah, no, it does. It does. And And never mind, you know, looking after a bunch of young boys and their teens and everything else. And yeah, look, it's a massive achievement for them. It'd be great to see even a couple of hundred fans there at Showgrounds cheering them on and everything else. And yeah, look, it'd be great. But we are going to Showgrounds for a youth league game. I'm actually looking forward to it, just seeing what this team's going to be like. And who knows, you know, if they get through, they could be playing, you know, a team from Belgium or Czech Republic. So yeah, look, no, it'd be fantastic to see a good crowd there for them.
You'll be back to Prague.
I'm blacklisted from Prague, so I've been told not to come back.
You're right, you are. You and several of your friends who will
Indeed.
remain, who shall remain nameless, but anyway. Right. Well, that sort of brings us to the end of a slightly truncated podcast this week, as I mentioned at the outset. Effects of what has taking place this week across the UK. And finally, again, we just pass on our condolences, you know, and these strange times. And we just hope that, you know, wherever you are and listening, that we start getting back and enjoying our football again. And we will, what's the next game? Saturday?
Sorry, yep.
Saturday, we will see you then. And just thanks again to all the sponsors who continue to sponsor the club and the podcast, including Radio Taxi. So many thanks to everybody for listening. Johnny, thank you for your time today, and good luck to the Warren and the boys on Saturday, and come on the Bandsiders.